talking to my people, yeah. Talking to the ghetto, get down. You're out there floating on your own, hoping the streets will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another lie at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Ghetto people, what are you gonna do? Tell me, do you really think that the government cares about you? No, they don't. Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people, oh, yeah.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Tell me why your life is.
Tell me.
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto people.
Show some love for yourself, people. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed will never come to feel what you need, when what you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness you can never get used. Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell
no, it don't. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to? Listen, people, you better take a look at yourself, yeah. Talking to my people,
but you just don't see
what you're living
at.
Living like you're living,
caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dreams,
yeah.
Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto
people. Talking to my people, yeah. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances on the short falls of greed will never come to feel what you need, when what you really want inside can only come from you.
Ghetto
people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Your life
running like a rare disease.
Ghetto people,
Motherland Media is on the air. You are listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in a medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them in their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them. We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history, has a free and proud and productive people. We say ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So we pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Good morning, family. It's Friday. For those of us who are living for the weekend, it's Friday, y'all. And I hope you get a chance to do this weekend all the things that you want to do, need to do, have to do, must do, should do. And I hope the weather is accommodating for you to do it. And I'm here in L.A. I'm on the left coast. So it's 8 a.m. here on the left coast. And presenting African Perspectives to you. I'm here in L.A. for the American African Firefighters Museum's 25th anniversary. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to the festivities and seeing some of my old friends, firefighter friends, and people that I know that have moved out here. My good friend Rick Johnson, who moved here a few months ago. Looking forward to seeing him. In fact, we're supposed to be going to the Dramatics concert. And if anybody knows me, you know I love the Dramatics. I done watched them unsung about four times. You know, I love the Dramatics. I mean, back in the day when I first fell in love with them was back in the early 70s when they first came out. And I remember I was working a second shift job. I called in sick, and they were supposed to perform in Waukegan. Went to Waukegan. A no-show. Man, was I upset. Wasn't the first time. But one of the first times I saw the Dramatics was at a nightclub in Milwaukee called The Turning Point. And I think that's when I really fell in love with it because, you know, in those nightclub settings, it's small and intimate, you know? And so you're right there. You can hear them clearly. You can see them clearly and so forth. And, you know, I just fell in love with them. So I'm driving to a firefighter conference in Akron, Ohio. And so I turn on and get a station, and they have a commercial for the Dramatics. They were performing at this club called the Mad Hatter. I went both nights, Friday and Saturday. I went both nights. So you know I'm sincere about the Dramatics. I can't wait tonight. And although most of the performers have passed, made their transition, particularly Ron Banks, you know, Lenny Mays, and, you know, and so L.J. Reynolds, who was not an original, but when he performed for them or auditioned for them, should I say, they said, this is the guy. And so L.J. Squirrel Dempse, who was an original, although he kind of left the Dramatics after a period of time, and Willie Ford, who is the bass singer. So Willie Ford has a group that is the Dramatics, and I heard them perform in Atlanta. I think it was Mother's Day, somewhere around that time. And L.J. Reynolds has a group called the Dramatics, and I heard them perform on the Soul Train Cruise about a couple years ago. And LJ found a brother in Detroit, because, you know, the Dramatics are from Detroit. And he found a brother who sounds and looks like Ron Banks. I was very impressed. I was impressed, too, with Willie Ford's group, and they sounded good as well. You know, but I think that LJ, because it's LJ, you know. And so I'm looking forward to that this evening. But what I'm really looking forward to is, of course, tomorrow night. And I'm going to have the president of the Centurions, which is the American African Firefighters Association, here in Los Angeles. The Centurions of L.A. City and L.A. County, two huge fire departments. And talk with Brother Dave Spence, as the president of the association, about the celebration and when they acquired the house and all the good stuff about what's going to happen this weekend here in Los Angeles. So I'm happy to be here, and I'll be here and I'll broadcast again Monday from LA before I get back to home to the ATL. Saw some stuff on the internet that I thought was interesting. I saw that the city of New York is going to settle with the Central Park Five. Those are the five brothers who were convicted of raping the Central Park jogger. And Donald Trump put out a full page ad of talking about executing these young brothers, and relented. He never relented. He was adamant. And then come to find out through DNA testing, I guess, or whatever it means, that they did not do it. And he never apologized. And all these years, this case has been going on. Former mayor of New York did not want to settle with these brothers. You know, he's a Bloomberg, he's a multi-billionaire. He didn't want to settle with them. De Blasio, who's the current mayor of New York, wanted to settle the case, and it looks like they're going to settle it for $40 million. So, you know, about $8 million a piece, something around there. And I'm happy for these brothers and all that they've gone through, and they definitely deserve every bit of that. So that was some good news. And you can give us a call right here on African Perspectives at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And you can join the conversation. And as, of course, as you know, African Perspectives is here on the Time for an Awakening radio program. And there are many others. And I'll give that rundown a little in between the hours of what other programs they have here on Time for an Awakening. And, of course, my program, African Perspectives, along with Us Lifting Us and Dr. William Rogers' Black Reality Think Tank, were from the Motherland Media Network. So we kept the mantra of the Motherland Media Network, but we're on for Time for an Awakening. Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, outstanding job that they do. In fact, Brother Elliot will be on this evening. He comes on this evening. Every Friday and Sunday, Fridays, 8 p.m. till about 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays, 7 p.m. to about 10 p.m. Eastern Time, here at Time for an Awakening. Saw a piece in Atlanta Black Star. As you know, I love Atlanta Black Star for positive video streams and so forth. I love Atlanta Black Star. And great narratives and video strips, as well as The Root, BlackAgendaReport.com. Get, you know, and that's quite sure there's others, Huffington Post, and there's many others. I mean, when I look at information and I see something, and I said, you know, that would be something I think I'd like to bring to the attention of our listening audience, you know, and hopefully we'll get some feedback from it. You know, it definitely would have to do with something that is going to or has affected African people, whether it is international, on the continent, throughout the diaspora, and particularly here in the States, or some maybe might be directed at a particular locale, you know, especially like, you know, I've talked about, because I'm from Milwaukee, I've talked about Milwaukee a number of times in terms of how bad it is you know. And I don't want to be accused of always being, you know, because really I'm a positive person. And believe me, I believe we're going to get out of this mess. But first we have to open our minds and open our hearts, internalize the information, and then release the vice grip that these folks have on our minds. And if we can get that information and release that vice grip, because, you know the vice grip, you know that tool, that once the vice grip is set, you can't pull it apart. Not even the strongest man can pull it apart, Hercules, whoever. There's a knob at the end of the handle, and you turn that knob, which releases the tension on the vice grip, and it opens. The turning of that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self, historical information, right information, giving you the impetus that you know that you can do all that you can do and you can be all that you can be. You release the vice grip, and now you have stepped outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have put us in to have clarity, have vision, have understanding, have self-respect and respect for each other, and a willingness to work with one another and to share with one another. See, that's what that's about. That's what this program is about. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, which where we are right now, or any other time around the world. And I appreciate my good brother and friend, Brother Jeff, definitely helping us to archive this stuff and then giving it to Brother Scotty with blacktalkradionetwork.com to help this program and the Motherland Media Network and, of course, Time Forward and Awakening Thrive and any other American-African program that tries to provide information for our people. In fact, go to those. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Because they offer a lot. I caught this particular piece. United Daughters of the Confederacy lead a campaign to build monuments and whitewash history. David Love presented this piece. And, of course, I live in Georgia, the heart of the Confederacy, or one of the places in the South of the Confederacy. And, of course, Georgia has Stone Mountain. And the United Daughters of the Confederacy, the UDC, was instrumental, truly instrumental, in having Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, and Jefferson Davis, whoever else is on the monument, carved in that Stone Mountain. And I guess they're the Mount Rushmore. I don't like Mount Rushmore. I don't like none of this stuff, personally, but I guess because you have Mount Rushmore, and now they're the Mount Rushmore of the South. Yeah. And that's a constant reminder. I know because of the removal of Confederacy statues and plaques and other honorary mementos and memorabilia, whatever, that there is also talk. Excuse me. There's also talk of removing, chiseling away the likeness of those three individuals. Whether that happens or not. I mean, you know what? I'm going to tell you this, brothers and sisters. I don't care. I love when that sister climbed up that pole in South Carolina and brought that flag down. That was great. I don't care. Because the bottom line is, whether the Caucasians are from the South, the North, the East, or the West, the mindset is still the same. The mindset is still the same. And whether it's a generation ago, two generations ago, or this generation, or the one, the so-called millennials, the mindset is still the same. I know there were some folks who were kind of looking at the statistics in terms of how folks feel and how divided the country is, not just because of the protests that is justified, Colin Kaepernick initiating it. What I like to really see is the kind of unity that it would take to make these cats look at the situation for truly for what it is. But I don't, you know, I don't think nothing will be done, because what has always been done is throw a little crumbs at it, throw a little something at it, quiet it down, and we go on as business as usual, because it's always been about symbolism without real substance. Symbolism without real substance. But I understand the importance of symbol. You know, when you begin to study our history and when you begin to understand how we use symbols to convey, that's why words are important. That's why words are important, and particularly if you have control of the language, you control the imagery. This is not our language. That's why I'm so adamant about not using the word black to describe us, not using the word white to describe them, not using the word slave, I'm adamant about these things. Because when you say them, what comes into your mind? Because sometimes words can become so repetitive, so often used that when you hear that word, an image comes into your mind. Right now, if I use the word Holocaust, no, you don't think of our situation. You think of the European Jews because they co-opted that word. That is not a Hebrew word, and they're not Hebrew. That is not a Yiddish word, and that's the language that they do speak. Okay, it is an English word. They have a word, Shoah. Like we have a word, a Mangamese and Ma'afa, Infakani. We have words to describe this tragedy. But the English word is Holocaust. But when you hear the word Holocaust, whose face do you put on it? Because like when you hear the word slave, now, this word slave is really a recent word to describe forced servitude, captivity. It's a recent word. This is not some word from back in the day of the story of Noah. Not Noah, Moses. The story of Moses. You know, Hebrew slaves, you know, which, of course, is not a real story, brothers and sisters. It is not. There's nothing historical about it. Because one thing that this program is designed to do is to help us think. You do some research. And if I'm wrong, hey, I'm a man. I will admit when I'm wrong. I'll apologize when I'm wrong. But I'll still stand tall, even in points that I might be wrong. So if there's some proof of Noah's existence, of Jesus' physical existence, because see, one of the problems I do have with Christianity, it purports itself to be historical, and it is not historical. The Bible is not a history book. It is a collection of stories and stories that consistently repeat themselves to begin with, which are stolen from other disciplines, other writings. So anyway, this situation, because of the whitewashing of history, is very real and problematic, because Caucasians want to write history. Just like Winston Churchill said, history is going to be kind to England. Why? Because I'm going to write it. And the history of England is so damn dastardly, is so evil. But yet, the appearance of England today with noble grace of the queen and the prince, and particularly in America, because America was settled, ultimately settled by England, the United States, more so than Canada. A lot of Canadian, French in Canada, a lot of English too, of course, but more so. And so therefore, that's why we speak this language and not France or not Spanish, not Germany, England. And England monopolized the enslavement, the captivity of African people. England, the old English. There's a presentation that Brother Alfred Coach Powell in his book, Message in a Bottle, The 40-Ounce Scandal, where he talks about the symbolism of the alcohol industry, particularly the malt liquor industry, and the effect it had on our people some 30-something years ago, and even to this day. Looking at Old English 800, and in the presentation that I do in honor of Brother Alfred Coach Powell, would love to see him. You know, I looked up him online a couple times trying to see if I can connect with him. So he's a good brother, Dayton, Ohio. Because, in fact, he even put my name in his book. You know, because when I met him, it was in Milwaukee at an ALDA conference. And he was writing it then. And we had lunch together and, you know, talked a couple of times. And then I saw him in Detroit. But Alfred Coach Powell's book, but one portion is talks about Old English 800 because it was in your face. And the question, and when I do the presentation, I consistently ask, why did they use these symbols? Why did they use these symbols? Coke 45 malt liquor, Old English 800, Schlitz malt liquor, Coke 45 pitchman Billy D. Williams, on the label is a horseshoe with a red bucking horse, Colt 45. On the label of Old English 800, the kind of red with the name and crowns around in a circle, and one in the O, Old English 800, a Schlitz malt liquor, a bull that is so black that it's blue, with his tail up. But it's nothing there. It's castrated. So, but we're going to get into this. The more than 150 years since the end of the Civil War, the United States has been unable to come to terms with a war that claimed 750,000 lives and was fought over the cause of Caucasian supremacy. And the right of Caucasian men to continue to own African people has chattel. Today, many Caucasian Americans have a positive attitude towards the captive holding South, the Confederate cause and its symbolism. This mindset was on display this week when White House Chief of Staff John Kelly claimed a lack of ability to compromise led to the Civil War, and called the removal of the Confederate monuments a dangerous scrubbing of history. Speaking with Fox News' Laura Ingraham on her new show, The Ingraham Angle, Kelly also called Confederate General Robert E. Lee, who abused his captives and became a soldier for Caucasian supremacy, an honorable man who gave up his country to fight for his state, states' rights. He gave up his country to fight for his state. I mean, which state was it? Was it Virginia? A bunch of states. It was all part of then and still is the United States. Further, Kelly defended the Confederate monuments, arguing it's dangerous to scrub them away. Kelly's remarks came as Gen 4 released a poll on millennial racial attitudes. Among its findings, the poll found that while majorities of American Africans, 83%, and Latinos, 65%, and American Asians, 71%, millennials, believe the Confederate flag is a symbol of racism. The majority of Caucasians, 18 to 34, in that age group, 55%, believe the flag is a symbol of Southern pride. And 62% are opposed to removing statues and symbols. 62% of the Caucasians. That's why I keep saying symbolism without substance. Somebody told me, said, well, white folks voted put Barack Obama. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Because if only Caucasians had voted, Barack Hussein Obama would not have been president. If only Caucasians had voted. So no, they didn't. Other surveys have shown majorities believing the war was fought over a vague notion of states' rights, with substantial minorities attributing the war to taxes or tariffs as opposed to enslavement. The true answer. Now, understand this. I'm very clear on this. This war was not, I repeat, this war, the so-called Civil War, was not fought because we were in servitude, that we were captive. This war was not fought so we could be freed from captivity. This war was fought because of economics. The emerging industrialization of the North against the free labor economy of the South. That's why this war was fought. Do you really think, y'all, do you really think that Caucasians would fight each other so we could be freed? And then if that is the case, why do they treat us so damn bad right after it? Everywhere. The North, the South. Why do they constantly disrespect us? Humiliate us, demonize us, characterize us in caricature. You seen them cartoons. You seen the characters they created, the coon, the pickaninny. No, this war was fought because the Caucasians could not agree about how they wanted things run. Let me continue. Over the years, Confederate sympathizers have distorted and rewritten the history of the Civil War to make the Confederates appear heroic and their cause glorious and noble. This project has been years in the making through the efforts of a group such as United Daughters of the Confederacy, UDC, United Daughters of the Confederacy, the ones that helped build those likenesses on Stone Mountain and other monuments. Other monuments, the monuments that were erected, particularly the monuments that were erected, they weren't erected right after the war. They were erected particularly in the advent of integration and to intimidate our aspirations for full participation in society. They weren't erected right then. And not only that, you know, there is no stat. You can't even say the word Adolf Hitler in Germany. There ain't a damn likeness of any sort in Germany. They lost and they were humiliated. This project has been in years in the making through the efforts of such groups as the United Daughters of the Confederacy, the UDC, which lobbied for the construction of Confederate monuments and the banning of textbooks that were hostile to the role of Southern secessionists in the Civil War. Examining the original documents of the Southern states who seceded from the Union, it is clear that enslavement and captivity was their motivation, and Caucasian supremacy their foundation. For example, the Constitution of the Confederate States, which mentions the word enslavement or its variants 10 times, stated, "In all territory, the institution of Negro slavery, as it is now exists in the Confederate States, shall be recognized and protected by Congress and by the territorial government. And the inhabitants of several Confederate states and the territories shall have the right to take such territory, any slaves lawfully held by them in any states or territories of the Confederate States." Immediately before secession, Georgia Governor Joseph E. Brown said, "Among us, poor white labor is respected as an equal. His family is treated with kindness, consideration, and respect. He does not belong to the mental class. The Negro is in no sense of the term his equal. He feels and knows this. He belongs to the only true aristocracy, the race of the white man. The Declaration of Causes of Seceding States identified captivity as the primary motivation. The state of Georgia declared, "For the last 10 years, we had numerous and serious causes of complaints against our non-slaveholding Confederate states, which reference to the subject of African slavery. They have endeavored to weaken our security, to disturb our domestic peace and tranquility, and persistently refuse to comply with their express constitutional obligations to us in reference to that property. And by the use of their power in the federal government, have striven to deprive us of an equal enjoyment of the common territories of the Republic." Saying all of that to say, we pissed at you trying to do this because this is about us. In its declaration, the state of Mississippi said, "Our position is thoroughly identified with the institution of slavery, the greatest material interest of the world. Its labor supplies the product which constitutes by far the largest and most important portions of commerce on the earth. These products are peculiar to the climate waging on the tropical regions, and by an perilous law of nature, none but the black race can bear exposure to the tropical sun. These products have become necessity of the world, and a blow at slavery is a blow to commerce and civilization." I know I'm jokingly saying this, but you know, man. See, that's